Come with me now. Come with me now. Afraid to lose control and caught up in this world. I've wasted time, I've wasted breath. I think I've thought myself to death. I was born without this fear. Now only this seems clear. I need to move, I need to fight. I need to lose myself tonight.
Walk away.
Before I'm told, but a part of me knows that I'm going too old.
Confused what I thought was something I felt. Confused what I feel was something that's real. Tried to sell my soul.
Welcome back in the press row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there. I got Weston Womp with us. It's the 3 o'clock hour. Hoping everybody out there is having a terrific, terrific Tuesday. Newest numbers, 95 from the state, correct, Weston?
The county says we got 95. So,
oh, county says 95. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. The state says 95.
Now, that's always
now,
the first one.
Now I'm contributing to the chaos.
Yes. Yeah, you really are.
We need to have, we'll have different numbers. We've got press row number. We've got the county, which I'm now jacking up. The county number, the state number. I haven't seen the county number yet.
And the press row number is officially 4.
We probably should have the state number, the county number, and the press row number, which is just an average divided by 2. I mean, adding them up divided by 2. So, all right, but we will keep you posted on that. But right now, 95 confirmed cases according to the state, 95 confirmed cases for Hamilton County. Well, it is a pleasure to be joined by Ryan McGee, ESPN senior writer, all-around good dude. You can see him on television on ESPN and the SEC Network, the Marty and McGee Show. Ryan, welcome into Press Row. How are you today?
I'm good. I want you guys to know that I'm wearing my Lookouts hat today just for you. So there you go.
Well, we've got the owner coming up next hour. Not totally sure there's going to be a Lookout season, but thank you for wearing the Lookouts pride.
Well, I'm a minor league baseball guy. In fact, every week this year, when we were still doing Marty McGee on TV, I was wearing a different minor league baseball cap. And I feel for him, man. But the Lookouts are a legendary franchise, and hopefully they'll get to play something this summer. I think they will.
All right. Well, how are things at the SEC Network? I know when all this, you know, once upon a time there was this SEC basketball tournament that got scratched and then the NCAA tournament. And I know there was the network went with like a 2-week takeover like they typically do kind of after the media days in the summer. I guess, are you and Marty up and running again? And how's that going?
Yeah, we are. And this past weekend, you know, we followed in the footsteps of Feinbaum, which we always do. Whatever Paul does, then we get to do it. But we this past Saturday, we returned to TV, to the SEC Network. Now, it's just a simulcast of the radio show that we're doing. You know, and when everything's fine, we actually go into the TV studio at the SEC Network on Saturday morning, and we do like a TV show on radio. Now, we flipped it. Now we're doing a radio show, and they're putting it up on TV. And it's amazing because we were so thankful for the people that tune in on Saturday mornings, because we could tell just by returning to TV, even with just a picture of us looking like the Step Brothers poster with Will Ferrell on TV as we talked, we could tell all our old callers were back. So it was good to feel a little normal on Saturday morning.
What were some of the topics that you discussed? And I guess as a follow-up, Ryan, does it feel weird to talk about SEC football right now, given where we are?
Well, so we had this big ESPN radio conference call, and they're like, listen, you know, obviously everything is going to be different for a while, and you're going to have to find topics to talk about other than sports. And there was this pause, and all the big wheels were on the call, and I go, well, this is what Marty and I have been training for. Because we always get in trouble for not talking. So we'll start talking about mullets or talking about, you know, the Corn Festival in Traverse Rest, South Carolina, where I graduated high school, or something I got in trouble for, you know, at UT when I was a student. And we'll talk about that for 2 hours and then get in trouble because we didn't talk about what LeBron did on Friday night. Well, so I feel like we've been training for not talking about sports forever. And so it's kind of in our wheelhouse. But last weekend, we talked about everything. We talked about Joe Diffie a lot. You know, we just lost Joe Diffie, the country music legend. And we talked about that. And we always end up getting off on some tangent. And we started talking about old school sports video games. And Dr. J versus Larry Bird on the Commodore 64 and the original Madden on Sega Genesis that almost caused me to flunk out of the University of Tennessee back in the day. So that's what we talked about, a lot of that. And it's, to your question about football, I feel like we're still kind of talking about the things we'd be talking about anyway, with the NFL draft coming and with, you know, what's this team going to be like and what's that team going to be like and can LSU be as good as they are, even with losing all those guys, and has Nick Saban lost the handle, and, you know, is Tennessee's the corner they seem to have turned at the end of last year, is that legit? Those are all still conversations we're having. The question is, what is the college football season going to look like? And quite frankly, I think it's way too early to speculate. I mean, I don't think we know enough to know, is there going to be games without fans? Are we going to play 10 games? Are we not going to start playing until October? Are we going to try to cram the entire spring practice into August? We don't know. And I think it's too early to even speculate right now, though right now all we can do is speculate.
And, of course, Ryan, the biggest story in the SEC over the last week is the fact that Mike Leach has not tweeted since last Thursday when he apologized for a tweet.
That didn't take long, did it? No. You know, it's interesting with Leach, and one of the most enjoyable and strangest assignments I've had as a sports writer is I went out to Pullman, Washington. It was, I guess, 3 years ago. Washington State was like 7-0, and they had USC coming in on a Friday night. And I spent a couple of days with Leach. And it was one of the most enjoyable but yet strangest experiences of my life. And people ask me all the time, you know, when his name was obviously – I mean, when he was offered the Tennessee job. Well, he just didn't know the AD that offered it to him had been fired already. But when he – his name was coming up for those big jobs. And I've always said I felt like Leach would play best in a Lubbock, in a Pullman. And I would have put Starkville in that group too.
Right.
But I think what he's learned is that, you know, all due respect to the Big 12 and the Pac-12, tweets are, you know, they just mean more, right? Everything does in the SEC. And I think he figured that out pretty quick.
You're listening to Ryan McGee, ESPN senior writer, does a great job on ESPN and the SEC Network, the Marty and McGee Show. You're listening to Ryan here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1, The Zone.
You get a bonus if you work in the It Just Means More?
Well, you know what? I've got a call with Sankey later this week. I'm going to let him know that I have used that It Just Means More joke more this week during this quarantine. So, yeah, I feel like you know, I remember hearing the cast of Star Wars talk about every time they made an appearance, George Lucas got like $5. And I got to figure out a way to get like $5 every time I work in It Just Means More, even if I'm saying it ironically.
I enjoy y'all's show on Saturday mornings. I think it's funny. I think you're 100% portraying it accurately in that sports kind of slow you and the chemistry between you and Marty down. It was either this past week or the week before, you were retelling a story about one of your first newspaper stories about a high school football lead in a 63-7 game that you got in trouble for because the coach didn't like the lead. Do you remember the lead?
Yeah, it was my editor. It was the Monroe Enquirer Journal in Monroe, North Carolina, and it was Anson County versus Sun Valley. And Anson County is an old school southeastern North Carolina powerhouse in college football or in high school football. And, yeah, the final score was 60-7, and it was like 21-0 like 4 minutes into the game, and it was already over. And I was sitting in the grandstand on the visitor's side, and it struck me that even while Sun Valley was getting its brains beat in, that the cheerleaders, like their confidence never wavered. And, like, they were game on from the beginning of the game to the end of the game. So that became my lead, which is the Sun Valley cheerleaders were dug in for a big game, and even when it was a blowout 4 minutes in, I kept returning to them doing cheers throughout the piece.
Right.
I thought it was pretty good.
Right.
And I was trying to be creative, and my sports editor, right there in the newsroom, started screaming at me, and we ended up punting. I went to the editor-in-chief, and he's like, no, I like this lead, but I'm going to take these other references out. I still have it. I'm going to have to tweet this. I got a scan of this thing somewhere. But, yeah, I said, I don't even remember the guy's name, but I hope that he sees me on TV every now and then and thinks, man, maybe that guy knew what he's talking about.
Which do you think is a bit more surreal? The fact that we are all 6 feet away from each other and haven't touched anybody outside of our immediate family in a month, or the fact that NASCAR is on the cutting edge of innovation in the sports world as we speak?
The leaders, right?
Yeah.
They just got rid of carburetors like 3 years ago, and now they're the cutting edge, right? But I give them a lot of credit because, and I keep pointing to them with my boss at ESPN, which is there's still, after 3 weeks, about 1 million people a week watching race car drivers play video games on FS1 and on Fox. And so, you know, I've just said, people are so starved for anything right now. And I think that's why Major League Baseball was toying around with the idea of playing, you know, games in front of no one in spring training stadiums in Arizona. I don't think they're going to, but they were kicking the idea around because people just need something. Listen, the only reason the Tiger King is the man right now is because nobody's got anything to watch.
Right.
And so I think if they threw something out there, but yeah, I give NASCAR credit and the drivers and the sponsors, they were all in. There was even a feud. Like one of Bubba Wallace's sponsors got angry at him and like basically fired him.
Yeah.
Because he got wrecked and turned his computer off. I'm like, are we really doing this right now?
I mean, if I got in trouble back in the day for hitting the reset button after a bad start to RBI baseball, man, I'd have been in jail by now.
What are you talking about? Well, I just remember my brother and I had to be separated because we're playing Bases Loaded, the worst baseball video game of all time on the Atari 2600, and we would get into a fist fight, and my parents would have to separate us. And so, what I say is, I wish we didn't have the quarantine thing just so we could put all these drivers in these chairs next to each other. I think they start reaching across the aisle and start punching each other like my brother and I used to do.
You're listening to Ryan McGee, ESPN senior writer with ESPN and the SEC Network, co-host of the Marty and McGee Show. You're listening to Ryan here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Well, we know that the spring meetings in Destin have been canceled. How do you envision the SEC media days in the ATL, or do you?
It's a good question, and it really is. And you know, selfishly, I want it to happen just because it's the most fun that Marty and I have doing those talking season specials with those coaches. And you were talking about Leach earlier. The second that Leach and Eli Drinkwitz, who I knew from Appalachian State, you know, he's in Missouri now, and we got that insanity up in Arkansas right now, and then you throw in Lane Kiffin, and I'm like, man, this is going to be the easiest gig we ever had, interviewing this bunch of guys, dudes. And so that we'll see. I think the fact that it's in Atlanta helps because if at the last second, even if they were to say, you know what, we're not going to do it, at the last second they said, no, we will do it. Atlanta is capable of putting that thing up. So my fingers are crossed. I think that's far enough out that any speculation about something like that is too much speculation. And also, to go back to it, just means more. They'll figure out a way to do it. I mean, I was at Pac-12 Media Days 2 years ago, and Bryce Love of Stanford, who was the favorite to win the Heisman going into that year, couldn't make it because he had an exam, and he goes to Stanford. You can't miss exams at Stanford. And they piped him into the room like the Wizard of Oz, and we all interviewed him like that. So they'll figure out some way to do it, but it'll feel weird if we're not all migrating somewhere in the deep south to count the number of times the coaches say they're excited.
No doubt. Another weird aspect, Ryan, how strange is it that Kiffin's so quiet right now?
Yeah, right? No, I can't figure that out because, you know, the problem when he was in Boca Raton and Tuscaloosa and everywhere else was that you couldn't shut him up. And now he's trying to lead by example. And maybe he just is really into self-quarantining. You know, I got friends that I really think they think this is the greatest thing ever. And so maybe he's just asleep on a pontoon boat somewhere, and he just don't want us to bother him with his laminated chart of plays.
All right, Ryan, when we have great guests like you, we love to close with a rapid fire, first thing off the top of the head. Ready to play?
Yes, sir.
What sporting event have you missed the most to this point?
I don't go to the Masters, but not watching the Masters. The HD TV was created for two things, the Rose Bowl and the Masters, and we don't have it this weekend.
All right, you mentioned him earlier, but do you think they prop Joe Diffie up next to that jukebox after he died?
If they don't, then they just didn't like him because he clearly laid those instructions out for all of us.
Ryan, what years were you at Tennessee?
I graduated in 93.
Okay. Favorite?
I was there. I was the first-hand witness to the coup d'etat.
Gotcha. Who was your favorite player when you were at Tennessee?
Carl Pickens. Played both ways my freshman year. We came in as freshmen together, and he's the greatest athlete no one remembers.
If you could have one interview in the sports world right now, who would it be?
Lane Kiffin. Where are you, dude?
All right.
What have you binge-watched most since this has all started?
My wife and I rifled through The Tiger King in two nights, which is ill-advised. That's like getting on a roller coaster drunk and not getting off for 3 days.
Okay, so were you a fan of it or just, I mean, friend or foe?
I thought Tiger King was awesome.
Okay.
No, I thought it was fantastic. Listen, and you know this because you listen to Marty McGee, and I appreciate that. For years, I have been telling people around the country about growing up in the Carolinas, you always had the random guy in the small town who, like, had a bunch of lions and an elephant in the backyard. and now they've made a documentary about it. I think it's awesome.
Whose idea was Redneck Headlines? Because that is a glorious feature to your show.
No, it was both of us, and it was we were barnstorming ideas, and we came up with the idea from Marty McGee. He and I were driving up to Martinsville Speedway early on a Sunday morning, and there was some story on the radio about a guy who got a leg eaten off by his pet boa constrictor, and I was like, there's got to be a way to work something like this into the show, right? And there you go. We were Tiger King before the Tiger King.
And as a quick follow-up, is there one – other than the boa constrictor, you remember more than any other of the Redneck Headlines?
Yeah, so the one that was sent to us by the most people, like you have to do this story, was we had the guys who broke into the – this is, of course, in Florida. Two guys
broke into the
trailer of another guy and tried to kill him by burning his trailer down and tried to start the fire by putting dry spaghetti in a pot with a rag. And one of them was dressed in like a bull costume, and it turns out they were both his ex-boyfriends. And we had Jeremy Schapp come on the show and read that headline, and it was one of the greatest things that has ever been done.
Listen, Ryan, good stuff, always entertaining. We appreciate what you do, and we certainly appreciate you dropping in here in Chattanooga on Press Row.
All right, boys, good lookout.
All righty, Ryan McGee with ESPN and the SEC Network joining us. 648-1051 is the number. Back with more. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.